Today's shiur is Masechta Menachos, Daf Pei Zayin, and we will be doing Daf Pei Vav on the days at the Mishnah towards the banner of the Amid. As our Perek and the Mishnayos and our Perek have been discussing extensively the halakas of the oil and the flour used in the Karban Mincha, now our Mishnah begins, Ma'ayim Mehavirin Esayayim. From where do they bring the wine for the Karban Mincha? Interesting to point out that the Mepharshim say that, as I just said, our Mishnayos and our Perek have been speaking about where we bring different ingredients from, but never does the Mishnah use the words Me'ayin Hayu, from where did they bring, as our Mishnah uses those wordings. Apparently, they say that although it is well known what were the areas, where were the areas where excellent flour and oil came from, wine, where the excellent wine came from, wasn't so well known. And therefore, our Mishnah begins with a question. Ma'ayim levin hasiyayim, from where they bring the wine, says the Mishnah, keduchim v'atulim alfliyayim. Keduchim and atulim were the number one place for wine. Shnilahem, second best, were based Srim or based Lavan Bahar. If you wanted wine from a mountain region, it was from the cities of Beisrim or Beislovan. Kfas Signa Babika. And wine from a valley came from Kfas Signa. Kolarot Sayyid. Wine could come from anywhere. Ella Mikanaim Vim, from here's where they brought the wine because it was the best quality wine. Continued the Mishnah. Em Vim Lenin Beisazvolim. Their fertilized field wine should not be used. Lenin Beisazvolim. Irrigated field wine should not be used. Not if vines were planted amongst seeds. But if one did bring wine from these areas, it's kosher. Mepharshim and the Rishonim already all point out that wine, grape, the wine tree that was planted amongst seeds, is klayim, which is an issur d'oraisa. And therefore, how could that wine be kosher? So one tariff that's given, as Mishnayos in Masechta Klayim actually indicate, there are ways how you can plant a vine amongst seeds if you're careful to plant it with proper separation, and that's the case that the Mishnah refers to. Another way that the Mepharshim explained that the Mishnah is referring to a situation that Midaraisa Klayim is only if vines are planted next to chita and soira, next to barley or wheat. Other situations are only also with rabbanon, and the isur hanor that exists from klayim only applies by klayim deraisa. The third explanation goes back to a case that we discussed earlier in our Masechta, where if someone without permission planted vines in someone else's field, so the person who did not want that to take place, his vines do not become usur. It was shloi b'ritzon, it was against his will, and that's the case that our Mishnah refers to. Continues the Mishnah, ein mevin halistoyin, one should not use halistoyin wine. So the Rishonim explained that halistoyin wine is wine from grapes that were put out to the sun, they become very sweet. The only issue is exactly how was this done. Some explain that after the grapes were cut from the tree, in order to sweeten them, they were put out to the sun for sweetening, and that's the wine that our Mishnah teaches us is not kosher. Others, however, explain that if it was put out after they were cut from the tree, and then they're put out to dry, they aren't grapes anymore. They become raisin. And raisin wine certainly is not kosher for nesachim. Therefore, they explain that it's talking about grapes that are left on the tree to dry in order that they become very sweet. The other mepharshim explain that just because you put out grapes for drying doesn't make them into raisins until they really get dry. And therefore, that Amish is referring to a situation where they didn't get that dry yet. continues the Mishnah, in Hevi, if one used this wine, kosher. Interesting to point out that the Chazon Ish discusses what does the Mishnah mean when it says in Hevi that with the evidence kosher. Doesn't mean as soon as somebody was mechadish them bepeh, as soon as somebody orally pledged them to hegdish, with the evidence they become kosher. Others say it has to be put into klisharis, and yet others say only if they were put on the mizbeach, which they shouldn't have, then and only then does the din of hevi kosher begin. Ein vim yashan, one should not bring old wine. The Gemara will explain why. Divrei Rebbe, lacham machshir. Ein vim lan mosuk, sweet wine should not be brought. And as we'll see in the Gemara, the difference between Heliostin and Mosuk is that Heliostin is sweetened by putting, by being put out into the sun, whereas Mosuk is wine that comes from grapes that are naturally very sweet. V'loim Ushon, one shouldn't bring wine that comes from Ushon, smoked wine. Pashup Shada means that the wine was smoked. Others say that the barrel in which the wine was kept was exposed to smoke, and then that smoky taste penetrates the wine. V'loy mevushel, nor cooked wine, them heavy, and if somebody does bring such wine, it's possible. And this Mishnah is the basis for the opinion of the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that one should not use for Kiddush any wine that cannot be used on the Mizbeach. And as our Mishnah teaches us, the halacha is that mevushel wine may not be used. That's why the Rambam says one should not use Yayin mevushel for Kiddush. Interesting to note that the Shulchan Aruch brings down both opinions. If one can use mevushel wine for Kiddush, and also the Ramah says that if the mevushel wine is as good or better than the non-mevushel wine, it may be used. And the Mishnah Berurah, in explaining this machlokes, actually bases it on a machlokes Rishonim in how our Mishnah is to be understood. Because the Rishonim debate in understanding our Mishnah, why is Yayin mevushel not acceptable? There are Rishonim that say that since by cooking the wine you change the natural state of the wine, and if the natural state of the wine is changed, that wine is disqualified. In other words, it makes no difference if the wine is getting better or worse through the cooking. The cooking process in itself is mishana, changes the wine and disqualifies the wine. That is, says the Mishnah Berurah, is the opinion of the Rambam. Any wine that's changed through cooking is not considered proper wine. However, there are other Rishayim that say that the issue with cooked wine is because it deteriorates the quality of the wine. If that's pshat, so that only wine that goes down in quality is possible for the mizbeah, and therefore should not be used. But other wine, that if it's even though it's mevushel, may be used, and that's why that opinion of Shulchan Aruch, that opinion of the Rishayim, as the opinion of the Ramah, is that you may use mevushel wine for Kiddush. Ein mevim nadolius, one should not use grapes from vines that are suspended on poles, aren't growing directly from the tree. Ella min haroglius, one should use wine that comes directly from the vines of the tree. Umnekrumim ha'avudim. Furthermore, grapes should come, wine should come from grapes from orchards that were properly cultivated. One should not put the wine in large casks. The Farshim explained that the reason they shouldn't be put into large casks is because since when you have a large cask, so nobody drinks up a whole large barrel of wine at one time, so they're constantly drawing wine from that barrel, and that affects the quality of the wine. Others explain that since, again, as we said, you're not going to use the entire barrel of wine at one time, that a barrel of wine that's partially empty is also affects the quality of the wine. And a third pshat is that, again, if you have large cask of wine, you're going to be transporting it from place to place to draw off wine. And the transportation of the cask affects the quality of the wine. Ella b'chavis ketanis. Rather, wine that's used for the nesachim should come from small barrels. V'memalas achavis apia. Furthermore, don't fill up the barrel to the top. Kedei she'roche noidif. Because by not filling it up to the top, you'll have a better aroma. And as the Mefarshim explained, the shear is two-thirds. One should not fill up the barrel or up more than two-thirds. And the explanation is because when you fill it up to two-thirds, and you leave some space at the top of the wine bottle or wine barrel, the aroma of the wine has room to go get mixed into the wine. And that aroma affects and has a positive effect on the quality of the wine. Any mevi mipia, one should not use wine from the top of the barrel. If nay, a kumchim, because there's mold many times on top of the barrel that looks like kumchim, that looks like pieces of flour, and obviously that affects the quality. That isn't quality wine. Furthermore, v'loy mushalel, don't use wine from the bottom of the barrel. Nay shemar, because there are sediment mixed into that wine. Ella mivi mishlisha memsa. Bring from the middle of the middle third of the barrel. That's how Rashi explains. The Farshim are troubled with that pshat because they say that if the Mishnah meant to teach us that you bring it from the middle of the barrel, the Mishnah should have just said miemtza. Why does it say mishlishia miemtza? So therefore they explain that the two other pshatim that I saw, one pshat is mishlishia, that all the wine that you're going to use should come from one of the thirds of the barrel. Which third? Says the Mishnah, mi'emtsa, from the middle third. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is that the Mishnah is actually teaching us two separate rules. One rule that the Mishnah is teaching us is mishlisha, that bring the wine from the middle third of the barrel. And furthermore, if you're going to have wine in a bunch, and you're going to have a group of barrels of wine, mi'emtsa, use the barrel of wine that's in the middle of all the other barrels as the barrel to use to take the wine out from. Ketzer Badik, how does the one who's working the wine test to make sure that only the quality wine is being used? Hagizber Yoshev, the Beis HaMikdash administrator is sitting, Vakana B'yadai, with a stick in his hand, Zorak Hagir, when the wine that's coming out of the barrel, it's obvious is not quality wine starts coming out, Hikish B'kana, he would tap the barrel with his stick, that they should know not to pour wine for the Nesachim anymore from this barrel. If you have a barrel of wine that has in it sediment, that has in it mold, that entire barrel is possible. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Tamimim yilachem v'minchasam, Tamimim yilachem niskeim. The wine that should be used should be the best wine. This is a pasuk actually by the Musaf of Shavuos, and the Farshim point out, why does the Torah teach us, why does the Torah choose to teach us this halacha specifically from the Kabbonis of Yom Shavuos? I saw a number of explanations. One explanation is that that Shavuos is, as we learned earlier in the Masechta many times, the time that they started bringing new wine, the new crop of wine they used for the first time after the Shtei HaLechem and Shavuos. And therefore, that's the time that the Mishnah teaches us when this proper wine, that's what the Torah teaches us, the rules of quality wine. Another explanation that I saw is that Shavuos was the time where wine started getting sour, and that's why the Torah teaches us to start examining and making sure that the wine you're using is quality wine. And a third pshat, very much in line what we know the halacha is, Hakol Moedim, the Gemara says, everybody agrees to Betzeris, that in Yom Tov Shavuos, Bilal Nochem, that we have to enjoy Yom Tov Shavuos, and therefore the Torah teaches us one of the ways of enjoying the Yom Tov is with quality wine. So we learned in the Mishnah, Emevim Leimosik, Leimavushim, Leimavushim, all these types of wines are unacceptable. Vimhevi, and if one used them, the halacha is that they're possible. Ask the Gemara, Voktani Reisha, didn't we learn earlier in our Mishnah, the aim of Vimas Halistin, that you shouldn't use Halistin wine, from Havi Kosher. And as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, that Mosik and Halistin are both varieties of sweet wine. So why in the Reisha does it say, if you use the sweet wine, it's Kosher? And in the Sefer do we learn that if you use this sweet wine, it's Pasul? So therefore, Amar Ravina says indeed Ravina Kroy Fatani. Both cases are the same, and the way Rashi explains, both of them are the din will indeed be that it's, that the wine is possible. Tosfos says just the opposite, that both rules are the same, and in both of them the halacha is that b'di'evid it's kosher. The Sfas and other Mefarshim are troubled with Rashi's pshat and Tosfos' pshat, because if Halistin and Mosad are, as we are explaining, really two of the same type of, they're both sweet wine, and by both of them the halacha is the same, either kosher or pasul, so then the wording in the Mishnah, the first it brings the halacha of Halistin, and then the Mishnah goes off to the halacha of M'ushun and M'vushal, and then it goes back to Masuk, doesn't make any sense. We should have mentioned Halistin and Masuk together in the Mishnah, if they are both just really two of the same type of situation and have the same rule. And therefore, Sfas Emes tries to explain that Mosuk is really not, that what Ravina means to say is that when you use sweet wine, it's kosher with the other. And when the Mishnah says Mosuk is not kosher, it's not to be understood Mosuk as an independent case that's not kosher, but rather Mosuk is to be understood, Mosuk is a general description of what Mavushal and Ma'ushim mean, and Mavushal and Ma'ushim are not kosher. Rashi has a different way of reconciling the Mishnah. Chuy the Shim Shaloi Ma'oz, Chuy the Peir Ma'oz. As we explained when we learned the Mishnah, the reason that Halistin wine is sweet and Mosuk wine is sweet are very different. Halistin wine is sweet because it was exposed to the sun. So we're dealing with a natural, with a good grape. Just, it was put out of the sun. So since we're starting off with a good grape, that's why there the halacha is that if you use such wine, it's b'di'evit kasher. Whereas mosik refers to a situation where we start with an inferior quality grape. If you started with an inferior quality grape, there the halacha is that even b'di'evit it's possible. Furthermore, we learned in the Mishnah, Emes in Yoshim, one should not use old wine, divrei Rebbe, v'chacham mechshinim. Amr Chizkiah, my Tama the Rebbe, Amr Kra, he says, the Keves Yain, the Torah compares the wine to the Keves, to a lamb. My Keves, as we're going to learn later in our Masechta, is an animal strictly ben shnosa within its first year. Af Yain, it means should be used wine within ben shnosa within its first year. Ask the Gemara, if that's shot in the Mishnah, so the halach is, that when the Torah requires that a Keves be brought, ima Keves, ben shtei shanim, if somebody brings a two-year-old lamb, where the Torah requires a one-year-old lamb, the halacha is that it's possible. So then the halacha, if we're comparing wine to the lamb, ought to be af yayin ben shtei shanim possible. Wine that's 2 years old should be possible even with the yevin. And if you'll suggest, the chitayman, if you'll indeed suggest that hachi nami, that two-year-old wine is possible even with the yevin, but Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Yayin ben shtei shanim lo yavi ben hevi, it's kosher. If we're comparing it to the lamb, just like by the lamb, it's possible even by the Evid, by the wine, it ought to be possible even by the Evid. Now, makes the Gemara's point. Man sham lo yavi lo yavi. Whose man number says that you shouldn't use old wine? Rebbe. And Rebbe says him hevi kosher. So obviously the basis for Rebbe's opinion is can't be because he compares it to a lamb. So the Gemara comes back. Why does Rebbe hold the lechatchila old wine should not be used? Ela amarava han kama the Rebbe tiksiv al tira yayin ki is adam. There's a special din that red wine, very red wine, should be used, and wine is only very red when it's in young, and the Torah requires for the sochem specifically very red wine. And in fact, I saw that Rav Volzman, the Shalos HaTshuva Shevet Alevi, quotes some Iri, that's why we don't have a problem. We know that people make Kiddush on sweet wine. There are some people that particularly like sweet wine. And if we're following what we're learning in our Mishnah, as we quoted the Rambam at the beginning of our shiur, that only wine that's used for Nesachim is the wine that should be used for Kiddush. So how do we use sweet wine for Kiddush when sweet wine or young wine is not supposed to be used for Nesachim? So he says that there's a special din by the wine of Nesachim, that it has to be wine that is Meshaker, that intoxicates. This type of wine that's older or not that red or sweet doesn't intoxicate, but that is a halacha strictly limited to Nesachim and therefore doesn't apply by Kiddush. Aimavim Lema Adolius, we learned that one should not use grapes from vines that are suspended on sticks, on poles, Tana, Krum, and the Mishnah said you should bring wine from fields that are properly cultivated, Tana, Krum, Havudim, Pamayim, Bishonah. One should bring wine from orchards that are worked twice a year. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef Havalei Karn de Pardisa, Rav Yosef had a corner in his vineyard, the Rafik Beit Fei Rivka, he would dig around the trees very often, the Avra Chamra, and it produced wine, the Dor Maya Chatre, that needed a double formula of dilution. Normally, wine is diluted 3 parts water to one part wine, but this wine was such strong wine that it was diluted 6 parts water to 1 part wine. We learned in the Mishnah, one should not take the wine in large barrels. Tanah, Chavis Kadius, Lurgis Ubeinonius. So Rashi explains what is considered small barrels are what in Lurg are medium-sized barrels. That means if you want to know what is this, a small barrel, which is the type of barrel one should use for transporting these wines, look at what are considered the medium-sized barrels in Lurg. And that's the size barrel you should transport the wine in. Furthermore, says the Braisa, Eim Menichnas Eshtayim Shtayim, don't put the barrels two next to each other, El Achs one at a time. So most Rishonim explain what the Gemara means to say is, don't put two barrels of wine next to each other, because in case one barrel of wine will spoil, the aroma of that spoiled wine will go into the other barrel and affect its quality as well. Others, Rishonim explain, Shtayim doesn't mean one barrel next to each other, rather what it means is one barrel on top of another barrel. Don't store these barrels of wine, one barrel on top of another barrel. So the Mishnah taught us, Ketzad Bodik, how is the wine inspected? Gizbar Yoshev Kotter B'Yodah, the administrator would sit with a stick in his hand, Zara Kagir, and if he sees that the wine that's coming out of the barrel is poor quality, Hikish Bekana, he would hit it, he would tap it with that stick to show not to use it anymore. Tana, Zara Gir Shoshmarim, if sediment starts coming out with the wine, Gizbar Hikish Bekana, the Gizbar would clap with the stick that they should stop pouring that wine. Ask the Gemara, why does he have to hit with a stick? Valei Malei Meimer, why doesn't he just say that stop pouring? Answers the Gemara, Mesaile le Rav Yochanan, Dom Rav Yochanan, Kishem Shadiba Yofel B'Samim, just like speaking is good for B'Samim, Kach Diba Ral Yai, it's not good for wine, and therefore you want to talk as little as possible when you're around wine. On the other hand, when B'Samim were made, like we know, the Mishnah says, that when they prepared the B'Samim, they said, Hadek Hatev, Hatev Hadek, speaking improves the B'Samim. Although, there's a question, what does it mean that speaking improves the B'Samim? Is it the actual sound that makes the B'Samim better? Or what makes the B'Samim better is the ear that comes out of a person's mouth when he's speaking. Mefarshim explained this Gemara in many different ways. When the Gemara says that it's better not to speak around wine and to speak around the summon. Some explain that the lesson here is because the summon, because we know that when somebody drinks wine, very commonly he ends up saying things that he ought not to say, and therefore the best thing is not to talk around wine, to teach us the lesson of not speaking, to be careful when we drink, because when we drink we may end up saying what we're not supposed to say. Others explain that the summon represents the neshama. We know that the Gemara Masechta Brachos says, "Eizu davar sheneshama nanava." What is this, something that the neshama enjoys? The summon, the sense of smell. Wine represents gashmius. The summon represents ruchnius. So diba yofa l'psamin. When it comes to speak about the summon, when it comes to speak about divrei Torah, that then speaking is very positive. When it comes to gashmius, wine epitomizes gashmius. There, the less you speak, the better. There's a very famous, beautiful vart. The Gemara says, "Chama v'reich nepichim," that wine and besamim make a person smart. So what's pshat in the Gemara? So Mefarshim explained that our Gemara just taught us that wine and besamim have opposite characteristics. By wine, you're supposed to speak. And by besamim, you are supposed to speak. So what happens if somebody has wine and besamim on the table? What should he do? So such a person should speak because of the besamim. He should only speak what he has to say. Cham v'reichni, a person who speaks, but only speaks what he's supposed to say, not too much and not too little, pichin, that's a smart person. And the first thing I want to explain, that's why on Matzah Shabbos, when we make Havdalah, we have wine and besamim on the table. Because we know that Havdalah is connected to Das, to intelligence. As the Gemara says, in Das, Havdalah Menayim. If one doesn't have the proper intelligence, he doesn't know how to make Havdalah. That's why we know that Halacha is that Havdalah Atachonetanu is recited in the Bracha of Atachonetanu Lodim Das. So we begin the week, when we start speaking about Das, we're careful to put both wine and besamim on the table, because as we just said, having wine and besamim on the table at the same time represents Das, that the person knows how to speak, but just speak what he has to say, not more nor less. Another pshat that I saw is that besamim represents, as we said a few moments ago, the tzaddikim, who are people of neshama, people of ruchnius. There, diba yafa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mis'ava l'tfilosin shal tzaddikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear the tfilos of tzaddikim. Diba yafa, that's the diba HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear. Another interesting pshat that I saw is that we recall that the Meraglim, when they came from back from Eretz Yisrael and wanted to speak ill of Eretz Yisrael, specifically brought an eshkol, a cluster of grapes. Why a cluster of grapes? The Mefarshim explained, they were aware that if they were going to bring different fruits, and the Jews in the Midbar would see those fruits, they would actually see how great Eretz Yisrael is, that it produces such wonderful fruits. But they brought an eshkol, and they spoke next to this grape. They actually spoke, as we unfortunately know, Lashon Hara, which caused the eshkol to spoil, as our Gemara says, that a dibur is ra'al yayin. And that's how they were able to say that the Yisrael produces poor quality produce. Furthermore, I saw a beautiful vart from the Klozim of Gereba. The Gemara, Masechta Chulin, in explaining the name Mordechai, says Mordechai represents Mor Dror, besamim. So the question is, what is the connection between Mordechai at Tzadik and besamim? So he explains that we know that from all the members of Sanhedrin in the time of Megillus Esther, the one who, so to speak, was the hero was Mordechai. What made Mordechai unique more than everyone else? So he explains, the Gemara says, And Mordechai was the one that would go and teach Torah. And because Mordechai taught Torah, he was the one that was, he was Zoicha, that the Nes Purim should happen through him. So Mordechai has in him the characteristic of a summon, a Mordror, which as Al Gemara just explained, represents Dibur Yofa, the kind of talk one should talk, teaching Torah. And therefore Mordechai, who had in him this characteristic of a summon, of teaching Torah, was Zoicha to make the Nes a Purim. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, that any wine that has in it mold is possible. By Rabbi Yochanan, Hedishon, if one was magdish wine with mold. And as the Karen Ira points out, even though our Mishnah has mentioned many disqualified wines, by all those other disqualified wines, the Gemara doesn't ask the question that we've had so many times in our Perek, is it considered as if someone was magdish a balmum? Only wine that's moldy, which is so inherently disqualified, there and only there does the Gemara ask, if somebody was magdish such wine, ma'as yilka l'mishum balmum, will he fall into the category, just like we learned that if somebody's magdish an animal a balmum, he's over a lavim and gets malchus, will the same thing apply here? Do we say, keeping the puzzle, since this wine is disqualified to balmum dummy, and you get malchus, Adilma ain't balmum al bahema. That lab was only said by animals. And here too again the Gemara remains with a taiku. Tan Rabban, we learn in a braisa, where should we get the animals that are used for kabonis? And interesting that the Mefarshim point out that even though the Mishnayis and our Perek are spoken about the wine and the oil and the flour, the Mishnah never speaks explicitly about the animals. Apparently, point out the Mefarshim that only by something that grows from the ground were they more careful to bring it from quality to product. They weren't as careful when it came to animals. But if you want to bring quality animals, Elam came from Mayav, rams from Mayav, Kvasim, lambs from Chevron, Agolim, calves, Misharoim, Goidlois, birds, Mehara Melech, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevim, Kvasim, Shagoivan, Karachvan. They would bring animals who were so fat that they were as wide as they were tall. Amar, Rav Bar Shaila, my Tama, Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda take this from? The Ksiv, Yir Meknecha Bayamahu Paranirchav. The Pasuk tells us in Yeshayahu that when Mashiach comes, again we will have these very fat animals. So since the Gemara is speaking about this Psukim, the Gemara finishes off the Perek. Ksiv, Achay Masayach Yushlayim, Hefkarati Shomrim, Kalayoim Kalalaila Tamid Layakashu Hamaskir Masashem Al Damilach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has special Shomrim mentioning Yerushalayim. And I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that there are special Shomrim, special Malachim, that have to daven to Hashem to protect Yerushalayim. Because since Yerushalayim epitomizes the Kedusha in the world, so it needs a special Shmira. Another pshat is that the Shomrim are the Avos, and that the Avos come and are mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should bring us back to Yerushalayim. My Amri, Hachi Amr Rav Shaila, at the Sokom Terachim Tzion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rebuild Yerushalayim, Rav Nechemi Vayitzchak Omer, Boinei Yerushalayim Hashem, Nitche Yisrael Yechanes. Pshat is that they daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nitche Yisrael Yechanes, he should gather together back all the Jews to Yerushalayim. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will gather back all the Jews to Yerushalayim, by the Yerushalayim Hashem, that will be the time that Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. Mefarshim say that the nafkamina between the two psukim is if Kedusha Rishayim, Kitchel Hashat, or Kitchel Hasalavon, if the original Kedusha remains or doesn't remain. At the Sokom Terachim Tzion means that the old Kedusha is still there, by the Yerushalayim means that it will require a new Kedusha. Ask the Gemara Mikara Mayav Amri, before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, what would they be mispalo? Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Shela, Kivach Hashem B'tzioi, Eva V'moshva, they would speak about the glory of Yerushalayim, that Hashem chose that as the place for His Shechina. Hanulach Kol Kavanas Tzibur, Hanulach Kol Kavanas Tzibur, Hanulach Kol Kavanas Tzibur. as we've been learning so many times in our Masechta, the Torah is very specific in when we need to bring different ingredients in Korban Mincha or in other situations, exactly how much should be brought. So the subject, the primary subject of our Perek that we begin now Be'ezer Hashem, is what kind of measuring cups did they have in the Beis HaMikdash, what size, what purpose. And there's a fundamental machlokes achronim, how to understand what the purpose of this measuring was. The Chaznish says that since the Torah, as we just said, wants specific amounts to be used, and it's impossible to know unless you use a measuring cup, and so that's why they had these measuring cups, because otherwise we can never be certain that we're doing the proper thing. But once we use the measuring cup, we've done what the Torah requires. The Midrash David seems to take a very different approach. His approach is that there's a specific mitzvah to measure, to use the measuring cups. That the medida represents a mitzvah, and as we will learn, that if the medida was done in a klisharis, that is mekadesh, that sanctifies the ingredients put into that klisharis, and therefore the medida and the kli medida become very vital. So says the Mishnah, shtei medidah sheyavish ha-medidah, there were two types of measuring cups for dry substances, a sarin and a chatzi sarin, and a sarin cup and a chatzi sarin cup. Remei Omer, there were three, isarin, chatzi sarin. Of course, as all the mafarshim point out, doesn't mean that there was only one isarin cup or one chatzi sarin cup in the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, what it means was they only had these three, two or three sizes. But of course, they had many cups of every size that they needed to have, because there were so many kabbanis being brought. Says the Mishnah, Isarim Mayim Mishamish, what was the Isarim cup used for? Shabar HaYimodeh L'chol Menachas. As we've learned, that a Korban Mincha requires an Isarim, or sometimes more than Isarim, but the measuring is always done from an Isarim, that's why they needed an Isarim cup. LoYimodeh, they did not use L'Shloish L'Par. When they have a bowl brought and you need to bring three isarin, they didn't use a three isarin cup. Or lo b'shnayim l'ayo el moed dan asroinus. They used the isarin cup. So the Sfasemis asks, of course they could. There was no three isarin cup. There was no two isarin cups. So what does the Mishnah mean? Says the Sfasemis, what the Mishnah means is to teach us that you shouldn't pour them all three at one time. But when you're measuring three isarin, for example, for a power, measure each one, pour from each cup separately. Chatzi sarin, ma'ayin mishamish. What was the purpose of the half of the sarin cup? Shabayay ma'idit chavite kain gadol. It was used for the chavite kain gadol. Machtzis of a biker, machtzis ben abayim. As we learned, the kain gadol brought every day a chavite mincha, which was made up of a sarin of flour, half in the morning and half in the afternoon, and that's why they need a chatzi sarin cup. Tanya begins the Gemara. Hayu Rameya Omer. Matam Alomir Isarin Isarin L'Kavas Echad. Why did the Torah use the word Isarin twice in this pasuk? Melamed Shishtei Isarin Ishay B'Migdash. There were two Isarin cups in the base of Migdash. Echad Gadosh. One had an Isarin only when it was heaped. Bechem Machad. And one had a sarin even when it was just leveled on the top. Gadish, the one that had the sarin only when it was heaped, Hayimoidid L'Chol HaMenachas, that was the cup that was used for all Korban Minchas. The Machuk was used, Shayimoidid L'Chavit HaKoyin Gadol. And as Rishonim explained, why for the Chavit HaKoyin Gadol do they have to have it all in within the cup? So the simple pshat that the Rishonim suggests is, as we just said in the Mishnah, they had to take this flour and divide it into two. And if you're going to take a cup that has the flour heaping on top and try to split it, the flour is going to disperse all over, and you're not going to end up with all the flour where it's supposed to be. So for the Chavite Kohen Gadol, they had to have all of it in the cup. Other Rishonim say that Torah says regarding the Chavita Kohen Gadol, Machtzisa Beboika or Machtzisa Be'arif. So Torah seems to be teaching us Machtzisa, I take half out of what's in the cup, not what's outside of the cup. Mechacham Maimer, Loi Ha Yisham El Yisaren Echad, there was only one type of Yisaren. Shnama, as the Pasuk says, Yisaren Echad L'Keves Echad, there was only one Yisaren cup. I asked the Gemara on the Chachamim, in Ke Matam Aloimer, Yisaren Yisaren, what will they do with the Pasuk Yisaren Yisaren? Answered the Gemara, the Rabbis Chatz Yisaren. Come to teach us that not only did they have an Yisaren measuring cup, but they also had a Chatz Yisaren measuring cup. Asked the Gemara of Rameya Chatz Yisaren Menolei, from where will Rameya know that they had a Chatz Yisaren measuring cup? Answered the Gemara, Nafgale Mi Vi Yisaren. The Torah has the extra Vav to teach us this rule. Rabbanim, what would Rabbanim do with that Vav? Vav Loi Darshi. Now asked the Gemara, Rabbanim, Rameya, Hai Yisaren Echad L'Keves Echad My Avdle, what does he use that pasuk? Rabbanim used that pasuk to teach us that there's only one type of Yisaren measuring cup. Rameya, who disagrees, what will he learn from that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, who that pasuk comes to teach us, Shloyim Doiv Loi B'Sholosh Shlapar Loi B'Shnayim L'Ayel, then one should not, that they didn't have a three cup, a three Yisar measuring cup for the Par, or two Yisar measuring cup for the Ayel. Rabbanan, where did Rabbanan know that from? Says the Gemara, Nafgalei Menikudai. They learn it from an extra dat, which we find in the Torah. The Tanya, Amr Rav Yosi, Lama Nakud Vav Sheba Emtsi Yisarin, the word Yisarin, Shel Yom Tavishin Shel Chag, which is stated in the Pasuk of the Kabbalists that were brought on the first day of Sukkot. The Pasuk says, Yisarin Yisarin Lakevis O'echad, Shloyimdai, that comes to teach us that you only use one, there was only an Yisarin measuring cup, and they don't have a Loi B'Shloish L'Par, they didn't have a three Yisar measuring cup for the Par, Loi B'Shnayim L'Ayel. Rameya Nekudah Loi Darish. He says that these Nekudahs aren't something to be learned. Mepharshim explain why from all the places in the Torah does the Torah choose to teach us this halacha, dafka, by the Kabbalists that are brought on the first day of Sukkot. So the Mashal Chachma and other Mepharshim explain because that was the day that had the most Kabbalists, more than any other day of the year, and therefore one would think that it would be appropriate to have more and bigger measuring cups so they could be able to complete all of the Avoida. Teaches us the Torah that even on that day, don't have a measuring cup that's bigger than the size of the Yisarim. Of course, there's a discussion here amongst the Paiskim about putting the Kudus in the Sefer Torah, where the halacha clearly is that you have to be mapped to keep these Nekudas that Ezra wrote. So the Mepharshim discuss how could Ezra put Nekudas in. So Ramosha and Tshuva suggest that the Gemara says, Roy Haya Ezra, Shikinosin Torah, Al Yodi, Yemole Kad Mamosha. The Gemara Septus and Adam said that Ezra was worthy that the Torah should be given through him. And since he was such a great individual, he was able to put in Torah, put in these Nekudas, and furthermore, since the Nekudas themselves is just a dat, doesn't really have any meaning, it's only because the Gemara, as we're learning now, in fact, the Gemara helps us understand what the Nekudah comes to represent. A Nekudah of dat in the Sefer Torah that doesn't have any independent meaning, that only can be understood through Torah Shabbat Peh, says Ramosh, is not a violation of putting marks into a Sefer Torah. Chatz Yisaren, continues the Gemara Mayim Mishamish. What was the purpose of the Chatz Yisaren? Says the Mishnah, Shabbaya Maidul Chavita Kohen Gadol. As we learned, they had to divide the Yisaren that was brought, so they needed Chatz Yisaren to divide it into. Ask the Gemara, Maidul, does one measure it? Vermini Chavita Kohen Gadol, Ayibay Chatzayim. They didn't bring it in halves, but as we learned earlier in our Masechta, maybe Yisaren Shalem, they brought a holy Yisaren to Chatzayu, and they divided it only after they came to the Beis HaMikdash. So why do they need the Chatz Yisaren measuring? Omer, Rav Sheshes, my Maidah Nam Detani, Mechalik. That means that after we started, and they brought from the home, the holy Sarin, and now we have to divide it in two. This is why it was used to divide it in two. Ask the Gemara. Barmine Rami Rav Chama Rav Chizda. Chatzi Sarin Rameya. Rameya, everybody agrees, as we learned, that there was a Chatzi Sarin measuring cup. Was it Godish Hayu or Meichik Hayu? Was it a heaping measure or a leveled measure? Sima Chatzi Chavitin Sholchim. Ask the Gemara Tibai L'Rabbonim. Why don't we ask the same question according to Rabbonim? They also agreed that there was a Chatzi Sarin measuring cup. Answers the Gemara Rabbonim Isar Gufa Kamalei. By Rabbonim we have a question, what do they hold? They only hold it was one Isarin cup, and now the question is that one Isarin cup, was it heaping or level? Gadish Hayu or Machlok Hayu? Amalei, with Rameya Nishna Rameya, from what Rameya said, we'll understand how to answer the question that we just asked according to Rameya, and once we'll have an answer to that question, what is Rameya's opinion, with Rameya Nishna Rabbanan, we'll understand what the Rabbanan hold. Midam Rameya Isar Machlok. Since Rameya says that for the Chavitin flour, they specifically had a leveled cup for the reasons that we gave earlier. Chatzi Sarin, and as the Rishonim point out, even though the reasons aren't the exact same, but still, we want to be consistent, and just like the cup that was used for the Sarin of the Chavitin was Machlok, so too the Chatzi Sarin that was used for the Chavitin Kohen Gadol should also be Machlok. And since we see that when it comes to the Chavitin Kohen Gadol, it's so important that it be Machlok, Rameya taught us that it has to be Machlok, Rabban, that we only have one Isarin cup available, it obviously has to be Machlok. Ask the Gemara, Boy Minei Rami Bacham and Rav Chizda, Chavitin Kohen Gadol, B'mam Mechalkin Mechalos, when we divide the, Rashi says when we divide the dough, Taisha says when we divide the flour, the question, some say it's referring that to the Rambam's Pshat, the Sfasemis points this out, we know the Machlokes Rambam and Ravid, that we know that the Chavitin were 12 loaves, the Rambam holds that each loaf was divided into two, half in the morning, half in the evening, and the Gemara's question is, those loaves that are being divided into two, B'mam Mechalkin Mechalkes, B'yada B'keli, was it done by hand, or was it done with a utensil? Says Rav Chizda, Pshita D'B'yad, D'B'keli, if you're going to suggest that she use a keli, turn to Yachnas, should they bring a scale to measure the dough or to measure the flour? Says the Gemara, and what is the Yachnas? And what is if you bring in a scale? Answers the Gemara, Kivin the Beklolik Siv. The Torah says in the Tachocha, Veshivu Lachmechem B'Mishko, that they will be such terrible shape that they're going to have, that the bread will crumble, and they're going to then weigh those crumbs because they're going to be so poor. So weighing with a scale represents a klola. Lav Aruch Ara, it's inappropriate to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Mefarshim say, we use a scale, so why is our Gemara suggesting that a scale represents klola? So I saw one pshat is that it only represents klola after it's baked. Before something is baked, it doesn't represent klola. Others say that measuring or weighing is not a klola. Only if it's an exact, when somebody so careful to measure to an exact detail, that represents klola, and that's what would have to be done in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we want to avoid that. In fact, I saw a very interesting point that we know that many women are careful to bake challis for Shabbos. Why? Because if they're going to buy challis in the bakery, so the bakery weighs, everything is sold by an exact weight, that's so the halacha requires. And our Gemara is teaching us that an exact weight represents klola, so we don't want to have klola for Shabbos in our home. Shabbos represents bracha, that's why they bake challis for Shabbos. Bar minei ram mecham rav chizda, shulchan, the shulchan, if somebody puts the kaimitz of the levoyna in the air space between the chalas, between the lechem aponim, will they become kaddish? Do we say midim kaddish lechem? Since they have the ability to shulchan mekaddish the lechem aponim, kmatzim nan mekaddish, it's mekaddish the kmatzim that are on it as well. Adilma, the chazle mekaddish. The lechem aponim belongs there, therefore it's Mekadoshim. The Loi Chazalei, Lavina doesn't belong there, it's not Mekadoshim. Amalei, ain't Mekadoshim, it's not Mekadoshim. Ask the Gemara, any Vamer of Yechlin, the Divrei Omer. We're going to spend time later in our parak discussing exactly how the Lechma Panim looked. According to the opinion that there was Tfalcha Machzakaisel, that the sides of the Lechma Panim were 2.5 Tfalchim tall. Nimtza Shulchan Mekadosh Chamisha as Tfalchim Lamala. So the Shulchan was 15 Tfalchim high, 2.5 times 6 for each column. The Divrei Omer Tfalchim Kaisel, that each side was 2 Tfalchim tall. Nimtza Shulchan Mekadosh Name as Tfalchim Lamala. So it was 12 Tfalchim tall. But here it clearly says that's Mekadosh, anything that's put in there. Amalei, what it means there is, Ein Mekadosh Lekarev, Avol Mekadosh Lepasol. Everybody agrees that once something was put onto the Shulchan, that they that if they become Kadosh, that they can't become Tameh, that if they become Tameh, they can't be used, or that they shouldn't be taken out of the base of Mikdash. But it doesn't teach us that it has the level of Kedusha, that it's ready Mekadosh, that it should be able to be put on the Mizbeach, as the burning of the Kemitza of the Levayna must be done with.